I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
A few weeks ago, I had a near-death experience. Let me tell you what happened. I was driving home along a narrow mountainous road. The time was 5:10. The sun was going down. In fact, the sun was right on the horizon. But on both sides of the road, there were great trees, and so this didn't worry me at all. I couldn't see the sun. In fact, the lights of my car had come on automatically, the driving lights. On my left-hand side, however, there was a cliff that dropped down hundreds of feet. And I came around this corner, and there were a number of cars behind me, and a number of cars coming towards me. I was driving on the left-hand side of the road because I was driving in Australia. And they drive on the left-hand side of the road. And as I came around the corner with all these cars behind me and all these cars coming towards me on the right-hand side of the road, all of a sudden, I went completely blind. Because the trees disappeared. And I drove straight into the sun. And the car was engulfed in a golden light. I've never seen anything like this. I've been dazzled by sunlight, but the light was white. But this time, the light was golden. The windscreen was golden. The air around me seemed to be golden. To the left and to my right, I could not see a thing. It happened so quickly, I'd scarcely time to cry out, "Lord, help me." I could not see a thing, and I felt the car was drifting to the left, so I pulled it to the right and then back to the left, and I put my foot on the brake. And then I burst out of the golden light. I was on the wrong side of the road. And there were cars coming down the hill to my right. And thank God, they'd seen my predicament and they'd come to a screeching stop. There was one car, it seemed to be only a few feet from me, a few meters. And so I quickly, as fast as I could, I turned the steering wheel. And I thought, I'm going to hear the crunch of metal. We never touched each other. I pulled to the left. All the cars were stopped. All the cars behind me were stopped. They were frozen. Frozen in time. I checked to see that everybody was all right. And then I made it home. When I got to the front of the house, I cried out to Beverly, who was upstairs, "Beverly, come quickly." She ran out to me. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I came this close to death." My heart was pounding. Listen to me, friend. We never know when it's going to be our moment and our time. We never know, when we are going to die. Now today is a tremendous, tremendous subject. I'm going to speak about the judgment. I'm going to turn to a text in the Bible. I'm going to turn over here to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, and reading with this wonderful old Bible that accompanied me around the world. It says, listen to this. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of his people, of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The Bible says the human race is destined to die once because we are a part of a guilty human race. In Adam, all die. But we're not all destined to die twice. Did you know many people, perhaps the vast majority, are going to die twice? I'm going to turn over here in my Bible to Revelation chapter 20, which is the great chapter, as some of you will know, on the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to start at verse 12. Listen to these words. Talks about the second death. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. There are books. There's a record. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. We're going to be judged by what we have done. It doesn't mean we are saved by what we have done, but we are going to be judged by what we have done because the works show what sort of people we really are. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Listen, my friend, you're not saved according to your works. You're saved by the blood of Jesus, but the Bible tells me that we are judged according to our works. Then the next verse says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. The Bible teaches that unless I am born twice, I will die twice. Now, I could have died quite easily on that mountainous road. I came this close to death, but by the grace of God. So every person this lifetime, since Adam, is destined to die once, but we're not destined to die twice. The second death is reserved for those people who rebel against God and turn from the gospel of Christ. They will die in this lifetime, and then they will come up in the second resurrection, face God in the last great judgment. And then the Bible says they will die again, thus they will die twice. This is the theme, here it is, of my talk to you today. Listen carefully. There is a judgment day, and we will be judged by Almighty God. An old friend of mine in the United States of America, whom I know very well, he was almost overwhelmed by the terrible things that were happening in the world. And he said to me, I could not face the future if I did not believe that God was the judge. And one day, God is going to judge all human beings. He's going to judge every one of us. And then God is going to bring in his kingdom. Here's a great truth. You listening? Men and women were created by God. were not blind accidents, were not the result of time plus matter plus chance, were not the result of a cosmic accident that happened trillions of years ago. No, no, no. The Bible says we were created by God, and the Bible says we were redeemed by Christ. Listen. Number one, created by God. Number two, redeemed by God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to turn over here again to the book of Hebrews. And this gives us the justification for the last great judgment. Hebrews 1 verses 1 down to 3. And the author says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Christ is the Creator. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, because he's now Lord of all and King of kings. The Bible tells me that God is the great creator and Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ on the cross made a perfect sacrificial blood atonement for the sins of the world. Not just for me, not just for you, but for the sins of the whole world. Christ has died for the world. And because Christ is our Creator and our Savior, he has the right to be our judge. Have you heard of Pastor Marshall Kelly, my friend? He's a great man. He sang for us in the Sydney Opera House many, many years ago. I'll never forget his wonderful ability to communicate Christ through singing. Well, he sings a song. And if he's watching today, we want you to know, Pastor Kelly, that we love you and we appreciate you. We think of you so often. But he sang a song. I guess maybe he still sings it. I don't know. A song about a little boy who made a boat. So the little boy makes this boat. And the little boy takes the boat on a string and takes it out on the river. But you know what happens? The little boat just drifts away. And the little boat is lost. And then sometime later, somebody comes along and finds a little boat that's washed up on the side of the riverbank. And he takes the boat home. He thinks it's his boat. But the little boy one day is out walking down the street and he sees another little boy and he's got his boat. He's got his boat. And he goes to the little boy and does some hard bargaining. And he buys the boat back. Then he walks back home singing as he goes, little boat, first I made you, then I lost you, then I bought you back. That is the song of God, my friend. First I made you, then I lost you, then I bought you back. Because Christ has made us, and because Christ has redeemed us, and because Christ died for us on the cross, the Bible tells us that there is a judgment day. When I read the Holy Scriptures, I find that there are clear examples of God's righteous judging and judgment in ancient times. And I want you to notice some examples of God's mighty acts of judgment in ancient times. And then we're going to bring it down to this day. I'm going to come over now in my Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 to 6. You ready to go, 2 Peter? If you want to follow me and get your Bible, that's just great. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and onwards. Peter says, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." So he starts with the angels. And then the next verse says, "If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others." And so you've got the antediluvians. Firstly, the angels, then the antediluvians, the people who lived back in the days of the great flood. And the next verse says, verse 6, "If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes." Boy, this is strong stuff. "By burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly." Now, here the author of this part of the Bible, Peter, gives us three examples of judgment. Because God is just, and justice cannot sleep forever. Never forget it, my friend. God is just, and justice cannot sleep forever. He starts with the angels. Millions and millions of these gorgeous, wonderful, angelic beings, maybe billions, I don't know, maybe trillions. And they joined with Satan in the great rebellion, and they rebelled against Almighty God. And the Bible says they were cast down to await the final judgment. So even the angels, my friends, are involved in the judgment. Now, people ask this question. They ask this question. Is God truly just? Or can we just go on living the way we want to live? What about all the evil and the wickedness that we see in the world? I would remind you of those great words said by one of the great founders of the United States of America. God is just, and justice cannot sleep forever. And justice came upon the angels who are still waiting for God's final judgment. And then it speaks about the people who lived in the days of Noah, this man of righteousness, who preached his heart out for 120 years. And as he was preaching, he was working with a hammer and with nails and whatever other things carpenters have. And he built this great massive ship as a place of refuge for the people of God, those who would go inside the ark. But the Bible says the judgment of God came and the flood came. What a tremendous day that was. You know, we've seen some great floods in this world only recently. We've seen some terrible floods in North Carolina and in other places. We've seen tremendous floods in Europe. But they are nothing compared to the mighty flood that covered this planet and took them all away. They were scoffing and they were laughing like people are scoffing and laughing today. But I want to remind you today, my friend, we can scoff, we can laugh, we can sneer, we can blaspheme the name of God, we can blaspheme holy things. But judgment day is coming. And then Peter speaks about the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, a few years ago, Beverly and I and David, our television producer, went down to the southeastern corner of the Dead Sea to an ancient civilization, a city there by the name of Numira, and then another city by the name of Babadra. And we saw 2 meters, 6 feet of ash and little pieces of human bone, and the ash was caused by a tremendous fire. And we had with us Dr. Sammy from the Department of Antiquities in Jordan. And we said to him, Dr. Sammy, when did this happen? He said, 4,000 years ago. I said, that takes us back to the days of Abraham and the days of Lot. He said, yes. He said, we are looking at the remains of a tremendous fire. And you know the story. God sent a man by the name of Lot, and he sent him there to preach the word of God. He was not very successful, was he? Because he became contaminated by his environment. So the Bible talks about the angels. It talks about the antediluvians, and it talks about the people who lived in Sodom. Now listen, my friend. In the second part of this talk today, I'm going to tell you some amazing, wonderful stories. Because as I have traveled around the world, as I have visited ancient cities and ancient places, I've seen the hand of God. I believe with overwhelming confidence that this book is completely reliable, that it is the Holy Word of God. I believe it is historically reliable, relevant, and accurate. And the Bible says, I bring you back to where I started. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And we're going to take a little tiny break, and then I'm going to be back with you. I'm going to tell you some amazing and wonderful stories as we talk about God's plan for planet Earth and God's plan for you and God's plan for me. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a few moments.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things He has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you. The Carter Report is now streaming on demand for you. Now you can have the teachings of John Carter anytime, day or night. By streaming the Carter Report, there is more content for you to choose from, and it's easy. If you are new to streaming, all you need to do is purchase a streaming device. It doesn't really matter which one. You can buy a Roku, Amazon Fire, or Apple TV from any major retailer. You or a family member can plug the device into your TV and sign into your internet connection. Do a search for the Carter Report and download the app to your device. From then on, your device and the Carter Report app can provide you with hundreds of on-demand programs. You can also take the Carter Report with you wherever you go. The official free Carter Report mobile app can be downloaded to your phone or tablet. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the app. Additionally, you can find Carter Report programs on your favorite podcast. You can also watch us on Vimeo or YouTube. Type the Carter Report in the search box. You can watch hundreds of uninterrupted John Carter teachings whenever you want, for as many hours as you want. Travel with John Carter as he circles the globe to bring the gospel to millions of people. Watch the Carter Classics from over 50 years of ministry and gain knowledge from stimulating interviews with Christian leaders. You now have multiple ways to watch the Carter Report. And once you start streaming, you'll find comfort in having these teachings readily available to you, whenever and wherever you want, for free. Welcome to the inspirational world of John Carter.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.